listen to the past messages on do-over, you should be so excited about a new year. We've got do-overs all coming our way. Amen. All right. In 61 more hours and some odd minutes, guess what it is? Christmas morning. You can Google that. It's so cool. How many more hours till Christmas? All right, 61 more hours plus some minutes. It's Christmas morning. And listen, it is always my favorite time of year. It is always my favorite time of year. One, I get to decorate. And listen, one of the reasons, we just finished fall. Fall is beautiful. Beautiful yellows, orange, greens, and reds, and then nothing, brown. Nothing. It looks a little dreary out there. So come Christmas time, I get to decorate. And everybody, what's my favorite color? Red. So you come to my house, we have an overdose of red. And what's the next favorite thing? I love sparkle and glitter. Oh my God. Martha, stand up 1 second. Yay! This is my girl after my heart. All right. Nancy's got sparkle and glitter. Who else? Okay, I saw a bunch of you. Okay, so I love this season for that reason. I also love, as you heard, Christmas carols. And I thank you, worship team, and thanks for all the people that got our kids here and stuff. Thanks. And amen. Thank you very much. Oh, okay, I'm getting there. That's later. Okay. Now, I love Christmas carols, and I only have one person in my house that's on my team. It's Cassie. And the minute after Thanksgiving, we have Christmas carols going all through the rest of November into December, and we just do part of January, except for Sherry. What a boo-hoo. She told me, you overdosed me. It's your fault. But so when she's not home, I'm throwing on Christmas CDs. I really like the old ones. I like Bing Crosby and that bunch over there. I know. But I like the new ones too. But I get a real, that's so nice. So I like that. I like Christmas carols. And I'll call Cassie up. We have this tradition. I call her up in July. And I put the phone next to a Christmas carol going on. And she just laughed. She goes, oh, I'm on it, Mom. I'm ready. In July, we start doing this. I mean, we just kind of throw one out there. All right, so I love this season. I like decorating. I like carols. Now, the interesting thing about this season, how many of you go to your mailbox and it is stuffed with catalogs? Catalogs. Pretty catalogs, catalogs that I didn't even know companies were companies. I didn't even sign up for them. Anybody have some coming to your house that you didn't even, you've never been to the store and you get it. I don't know, the frequent flyer miles, you get it. I have no clue. Except for I noticed a bunch of them are from Joy, and my daughter Joy, and she's got them forwarding. So anyway, so I go to the mailbox that is stuffed starting probably November. They start rolling in November, right? And I open up my mailbox full of these beautiful, colorful catalogs, and I just quickly, as I walk from my mailbox down the driveway into my garage, and the ones that I'm like, I don't really do Cabela's anymore, sorry, I toss them immediately into my blue recycling bin. And I'll just stand in front of the bin, and I quickly glance at them, and I chuck out the ones I don't want. Anybody do that? Okay, but the rest, I make a pile so I can sit down, and I'll put them in my favorite place to read, and I make this pile until I have some time, and I'll search through these colorful catalogs. And I'm searching through these colorful catalogs for gifts for people who I love, who I want to bless. Anybody do that? Now, back as a kid, we just wanted, forget blessing somebody. You remember being a little kid? Now, I'm so young that I remember the Montgomery Wards and the Sears catalog. Okay. Some of you don't even know who Montgomery Wards was. Okay? Raise your hand if you know Montgomery Wards. It's a bunch of old folk here today. The downstairs. All right. But, you know, back then when I was little, I just wanted to look at colorful things for myself. But really, now I really search through these catalogs, and now you can go online. Oh, my Lord. Okay, but let's do the catalog thing. And I'm looking for gifts for people that I love that they'll remember. And that's what the giving for me is. I want to give a gift that they'll remember. Now, how many of you remember what you got last year? Don't raise your hand. Oh, okay. But so, oh, you did. Wow. Okay. But there are gifts that you remember. I remember. Okay. Matter of fact, my kids go, oh, Lord, she's going to tell the story again. But who remembers the Beatles? Who remembers when they came out and they were on the Ed Sullivan Show on Sunday night? And it's a really, really big show, however he said that, right? Okay, so you don't know that, you missed it. The Ed Sullivan Show and the Beatles performed for the first time. Oh, my gosh, I was smitten. And all I wanted for Christmas was a pair of white go-go boots. And I started hounding my mom, and she's, now listen, I'm one of six, and the lady's so practical, it's ridiculous. My Christmas morning comes, my Aunt Essie and Uncle Dave, who lived in Brooklyn, I grew up in North Jersey, you can hear the accent on occasions, so they come, Aunt Essie, Uncle Dave, and Grandma, to my house in North Jersey, and Aunt Essie always, they didn't have any children, Aunt Essie and Uncle Dave, so she always bought the coolest gifts. And I was really upset on the times that we'd switch off. Sometimes they wouldn't come to us Christmas because they went to my cousins. And we'd have, you know, that. But this was the year. She comes, and I open up the box of white go-go boots. Oh, my God! Mary and I, my sister, bought a pair of white go-go boots. I think I wore them out. Okay. I remember the gift. One, my aunt just loved us. She didn't have children. She just poured into us. And two, she loved me so much to give me white go-go boots. Man, that was a gift. That was a great gift. And listen, I'm building something, so write this down. Great gifts are remembered. Now, how many of you remember your, this happened with my brother, it wasn't me. Christmas morning, he runs down, and what is next to the Christmas tree? A bike with rockets painted on the side, and we didn't, he didn't care how cold it was. He was up and down that driveway all day long. Up, and I know it wasn't snow, but that was it. And you could talk to him forever about him. Pat, do you remember the Christmas you got the bike? Big smile. Because why? Great gifts are remembered. Great gifts are remembered. All right. So now. How many of you remember some great gifts? Raise your hand if you've got some that you remember. I mean, there are certain ones. And I'm not talking about a car or an engagement ring, but you know, you really remember some really great ones. I have a couple, besides go-go boots. All right, now, great gifts are always remembered, and yet people, I hear people, don't, you know, just religious people, oh, Christmas, you know, it's not about getting gifts or giving gifts. All right, try getting a parking space at the mall. It's about gifts. How come they hire extra for UPS and Toys R Us and department stores? It's about gifts, okay? It is about gifts. Everybody say gifts. I love them. All right, now, even Santa gets in on this. He's got gifts for all the good girls and boys, all right? So it's about gifts. And how about this? How about those wise men? It was about gifts. Okay, now we're getting to the Bible side of the story. That's just warming you up, okay? All righty, turn to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The wise men gave gifts. Matthew 2, chapter 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? Listen to what they're saying. Where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship. We have come to worship. Now, they came to give gifts. And they came to worship. But who were these guys? Anybody know about these guys? I had books all week on the dining room table and online. And I learned something I didn't know. How many of you have a manger scene? And you have three wise men? How many of you a manger scene. What? What? Okay. Traditionally, it's thought there are three wise men. Read this. I was like, I've read this 100 times and I saw it. Okay? And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, no number. All right, so you're all going to win Bible trivia pursuit. All right? Wise men, they're also called the Magi, and they were a religious sect, and they were also part of the king's private council, making them wise. You don't surround yourself with dumb, you surround yourself with wise. So picture these guys. They were also, all Bibles hand down, all agree with this part, they were astrologers. Now, we think of reading your fortune and stuff, but astrology at that time was the study of stars, and it was actually a very good science. It was a science, and it was reputable. How about that word? It was a reputable science. So when you say astrologers, get your head in the right groove, all right? Now, I'm telling you about these guys, so you get the gift, okay? These guys studied the prophecies about a king of the Jews that was going to be born again. Well, wait a minute. Now, they're from the East. They didn't say they were from Israel. They're from the East. So how come? How did they know this? Okay, listen. Remember your King Nebuchadnezzar and the children of Israel that were taken captive and dispersed. Daniel was taken captive and dispersed. He didn't live in Israel. He lived in, was that Babylon or Persia or Medes? I always get my story. Sorry about that. All right. So, and Daniel was quite well known by the king. He was part of the king's council, right? Do you remember your stories? So he had integrated the Bible. Well, they didn't have a Bible, but he had integrated those beliefs in the East. So, just have fun. This is so much fun. Go Google Scholars. It was just wonderful to read this. So when you say these wise men came from the East, well, why were they coming? Why were these guys from the East coming? It's because they had heard and they'd studied the stars and the prophecies that a great king would be born in Judea. And they came to worship him. How's that? So you can go buy more little wise men and put them on your little manger scene. Because I think there was more. All right. So you know what we have here? We have a group of wise guys. Everybody say wise guys. All right. And what happened here is, number one, they believe the word. These wise guys believe the word of God about prophecies, about a Savior, about a redeemer, all right? So that made them wise. Also, they sought after a star, because the prophecies, and if you read in, oh man, it's not in Micah. Micah's, there's one scripture, and in, oh, okay, I can't remember. I read so many of them. There's scriptures of prophecies of a star that would lead them to the Messiah. Okay, so these guys sought after a star, which really they sought after a redeemer, which was really they sought after Jesus, right? Everybody say, yeah, I get it. Shake your head, yeah, okay. And number three, they recognized his worth. They recognized his worth. Well, how do I know they recognized his worth? Number one, they formed an expedition to travel to a foreign land. Listen, you don't do that unless you recognize the worth. You believe, you seek after, and you recognize the worth. Ah, listen, we used to go to the beach just to organize an expedition to get four kids in a car, drive 10 hours. Holy moly, it was just ridiculous. Okay, so these guys were on a mission, all right? They organized an expedition, and then they followed God's GPS, a star. They followed a star, and this star that they followed after they studied the scriptures, believed in the prophecy and the scriptures, hop on their camels or donkeys or horses, okay, and they follow this star Talk about believe and value. And then this star stops at the right place, at the right kid. That's incredible. And some people, well, Pastor D, listen, you got talking GPSs. Someday, you know, 10 years ago, they would have thought, or maybe 25 years ago, they thought that's incredible. Listen, God is incredible. He does crazy things. A star. Wow. All right. Look at Matthew 2, verse 10. Look what happened. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Anybody have an amplified? What does that say? Anybody? Carol, you want to throw the amplified up? Oh, Michelle has it. Oh, right there. Ta-da! And when they saw the star, they were thrilled with this ecstatic joy. I knew the amplifier would just puff it up better. Okay. When they saw the star. Now, why do you think they got so excited? Why do you think they had exceeding joy and rejoicing? Why? Why? All right, I'm going to tell you. The Christmas carol we sang, O come, Emmanuel. Can we throw that Christmas carol up while you're doing that? The song for O come, O come. Oh, no, no, not that one. I'm sorry. O Holy Night. I'll get to the other one. O Holy Night. Sorry. D. Cashman, praise God. All right. O Holy Night. O Holy Night, it said, there's a verse that says, a thrill of hope. How about you take thrill and you say a rejoicing of hope? A thrill of hope for a weary world rejoices. Everybody say weary world rejoices. All right. I don't know about you, and listen, there's nothing new under the sun. The time these wise men came, it was a weary world. Okay? The time you live in, anybody know it's a weary world out there? Whether you know the Lord Jesus as Savior or not, it's a weary world out there. And people are, our economy's a delight. I was going to make a negative confession and say a mess, okay? And people are struggling in relationships. There's more diseases. They just keep inventing new ones and trying to slap names on them. People's families are struggling. Would you call that a weary world? All right. So a thrill of hope for a weary world. Whoa, I can say that. All right. So why do you think they were rejoicing? Hope. For centuries, they had hoped in a king that would be a great king. They believed it, a redeemer, a savior. So listen, they were rejoicing. They were rejoicing. And listen, you guys got Bibles in front of you. You should be rolling out of bed in the beginning of December and not saying, oh, God, it's December. I can't stand this month. You've got a book that says you should be rejoicing. Don't you? That was my maps that are falling out. Okay, praise the Lord. We'll pick them up later. All right. All right, the second, I don't know what number I am of these wise kings, these wise guys, but they rejoiced because they found a king. And listen, they were rejoicing and they weren't even of the same culture or religion. And they believed, they humbled themselves, and when they found him, what did they do? Verse 10, except for my pages got lost, they worshiped him. No, 11. 11, and when they had come to the house, because the star stopped on the exact spot. Incredible! Okay, and when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. Those guys, wow. Wow. How much more? Listen, when I say worship service is ready to start, everybody should go, wow, we're rejoicing. Yeah. Yeah, you roll out of bed every morning. Worship, the king has come, all right? Praise God. Listen, they humbled themselves, they worshiped him, and they gave him great gifts. It says, and when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave great gifts. And also, you want to know how much they believed what they saw, all that they did. You know how much they believed? They were not moved by man. Think about it. Who did they meet up with first? Well, as soon as they hit Judea, they went to King Herod, right? And they're telling what they're so excited about. Oh, man, King Herod, we followed the star. Okay, we followed this star, and it's here. You wouldn't happen to know where this king of the Jews is? Okay. And so they ran into him first, and then they followed the star, and then an angel appeared to them and said, hey, listen, this is bad, guys. This guy's a bad king. And they did not go by a king saying, hey, you come back when you find him, liar, liar, pants on fire. He said, yeah, you come back, and I'm going to worship with him, liar, liar. They knew, and I believe by the leading of the Holy Ghost, that don't go back. So they weren't even moved by a king, and they departed and went another way. Those guys are wise guys. Those are wise guys. Everybody say, wise guys. All right. And wise guys gave great gifts, didn't they? Great gifts. Oh, preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Great gifts are always remembered. Now, turn over to, you're over here, Matthew 1, verse 22. Guys, we all know the gift is who? Oh, you're so, come on. The gift is?
Jesus.
Actually, it is the ultimate gift or the ultimate present. It's so big. It is bigger than your brain some days. Everybody just think about Jesus some days, and it's just, my mind is like, I cannot comprehend how big he is, how great he is. Okay, but we're going to do our next scripture, 1:22. Matthew 1:22. I'm on the wrong scripture. Hold on. I'm in 2. Let me back up. Well, let's do verse 21. And when she brought forth a son, they called his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Everybody say, save. I'm so glad I'm saved. All right. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay. Emmanuel, if you're taking notes, means God with us. God with us. God with us. Wow. God with us. Actually, the literal translation is the presence of God is with us. Man, you gotta get this. The gift, the ultimate gift, is the present of God. It's also the presence. You have the presence of God with the gift. The presence of God is Emmanuel. The presence, not with a T. Boy, this is a little don't be spitting here. All right, think about it. That's a big, incredible gift, don't you think? Oh, my gosh. All right, so how many of you remember being in high school? You're in my art class, and Mrs. Morris comes in, and she says, class, I'm going to take attendance now. And she'd get to my name, Davida Gagan, and I'd raise my hand, and I'd say, present. Present, and then they'd call your name, and you'd say, present. Do they even do that now in school anymore? Yeah. Gee whiz. All right. It was just a time waster, I bet. I don't know. Okay. Present. Okay. Present. So that meant a person was in a particular place. You were present. All right. Emmanuel is God is present, but it's better than that. His presence is present. You might have to write that out, okay? Write that down, okay? His present, the present, like the birthday present, the present is also presence. His presence, presence, okay? Everybody get those? All right. Now, if you were in attendance, that meant you were here, you're there, you're actually nearby. If you went to class that day and they took attendance, you were here that day. You were there that day. You were nearby that day, right? Well, guess what? God is presence. God is present. God is presence. God is, God was, God will always be. Presence. His presence. He is. He was. He'll always be. That's Emmanuel, the gift, the greatest gift. Oh, man. So, how many of you have ever said, have you prayed one of these prayers? I probably did this more so when I was not understanding my Bible, but I still catch myself. Oh, God, be with us. Oh, God, help us. All right? Or, God, be with me. Like, say, for instance, okay, you know, our famous trips to the beach. 4 kids, boogie boards, bicycles, all tied on, a car chip on top, tied on a car for 10 hours. And our prayer before we even left the driveway, God, be with us. And let me tell you, I was exercising faith. And then I said, God, be with me, that I don't strangle them before we get there to the beach. So you have prayed that prayer, haven't you? God, be with us. God, be with me. All right? It's finals week. All right? And what's your favorite prayer? Oh, God, be with me as I go take this final. Has anybody ever prayed that one? Yeah. Okay, and then God's gone, it'd be a lot easier if you studied, but I'll be with you. Didn't say what I was going to do, right? Right. God be with us. All right. His presence is his present. Okay? The presence is his present. Man, it's so good. That means he is everywhere all the time, and there's nowhere he's not because he's present. His presence is present. Okay? So, God's not just off far away, and God's not just watching you on occasions. God is always present. His presence is always there, right? Okay, turn to Isaiah 9. I want to show you how big his presence is. This is where, like, one of those cool scriptures we read at Christmas time. I can tell because I only had it underlined in one color. Usually if I read it more, it's got different colors. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Y'all know this. Isaiah 9. Okay. God is with us. Everybody say that. God is with us. His presence. God is with us. Okay, Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Does that talk about presence? Not the T, the S one. That's how big. I mean, that's incredible, the presence of God that's now. Okay, now. God wants everybody to experience his presence. Because why? He's all about relationships. He's a relational God. Listen, he stripped himself of glory and came and was born as a babe, all right? So listen, he's all about relations and man. He wants to be involved in your life. It also says in John 1:1 or 1:14, and he came and dwelt among them. That's presence. He came and dwelt among you. Everybody say, God with us. Listen, I'm going to get you so you're never going to say, well, you'll never say what I'm going to say next. Okay. All right. Now, the problem is most people don't believe it. Oh, Pastor D, I've been born again 25 years. I believe Emmanuel, God is with us. Oh, yeah? Well, listen, first off, there's a bunch of people that don't even believe in God. So they don't believe in his presence or his present, do they? If you don't believe in God. But how about a bunch of Christians, not this church, the guys down the road, right? Well, how about the ones that say, hey, I just don't feel God. There's no tingles. No, God is with us. Or how about the bunch that says this, not our church, the church down the road, right? That says maybe you're going through a difficult season, a difficult situation. I mean, all blew up in your house and it's difficult. And you go, where is God? Where is God? All right? But wait a minute. What's Emmanuel mean? God is with us, all right? And listen, I've heard this one, and this breaks my heart because they don't believe God is with us. But maybe you got here today or you know somebody, and they really muffed up. I mean, they did the biggie, and they're thinking, God can't be with me. God wouldn't dare be with me. You don't know what I did. But wait a minute. Emmanuel is? All right. So do you believe it? Right? God is with you. All right? Now, if you're taking notes, because I'm going to wrap up. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Number one, write this down. God is with you. And turn over to Luke chapter 1. God is with you. I'm going to build some cases here. God is with you. God is with you. Luke 1, 26. Whoops, I'm in Romans. Wrong place. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed, I love that word, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, this is the angel said to her, an angel walked into a teenager's room. Number one, a miracle. You can walk into a teenager's room. Yeah. If the clothes don't get you, the smells do. Boys' room smell, I'm sorry. Okay, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. What did he say to her? The Lord is with you. Emmanuel, God is with you, the presence of God. Listen, God started, he's still the same, he's still doing it, his presence is with you. Isn't that exciting? All right, number two, write down. Nah, don't write this one down. Let me give you another story here. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was sent because Jesus came on this earth as a babe, and then he lived for 3.5 years his ministry. Then he willingly laid down his life. He died and went to heaven, and he's seated in the Father's right hand, ruling and reigning and great. And he said, I will give you another one of the same kind. He's called the Comforter. And he's also, his job description is stand by. Does that sound like God with us? God's with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, all right? And if you've been hurt and disappointed, don't say, I don't know where he is. You just say, I have the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I have the Holy Spirit. He stands by me. He's with me. His presence is with me. And listen, I know firsthand, he's with me. Anybody know firsthand, he's with me? Yeah. All right. Now number two. Number one was God is with you. Number two, God was with you. I'm using the word was. Now, this is where you get to look back. Remember. How many of you remember, speaking of which, the story of Joseph the dreamer? Not Joseph and Mary, Joseph the dreamer, okay? Joseph the dreamer was handpicked by God. God gave him these dreams. He was young and dumb and a big mouth, and he splat them all out with his big brothers, and they just ticked him off, got angry, and wanted to kill him, and they ended up by selling him, all right? They sell him, and he ends up in Pharaoh's house, and then Pharaoh's wife starts lusting after him and lies about him. He ends up in jail. Then he does all these great things. He gets forgotten. I mean, most people would be wah, right? Yeah. But listen, turn to Genesis 39. This is so cool. Genesis 39. God was with you. You get to look back. God was, most of the time I tell you don't look back, but this is a good one. God was with you. Genesis 39, verse 21. His brothers show up on the scene and they're feeling really bad, man. It's nice to have people grovel, right? No, don't say that. And they're feeling bad what they did. And this is what it says. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the prison keeper. And then it also says, oh, I forgot to write down the reference. I'm sorry. Later on in Genesis, it also says, you know, they're just feeling bad and they go, oh, we shouldn't have done that. And he said, no, God was with me for this purpose. Look back. How many of you can look back? I mean, you had times where it was desperate. And you look back, can you remember the times God bailed you out of a mess? I call it, what is it, the 11th hour? All right? Paid off this or showed up at the last time. Look back and remember, God was with you. God is with you and God was with you. So it's okay to tell those stories. Don't tell the wham, wham, wham ones. Tell the ones, all right? Stir yourself up all the times. God was with us. Matter of fact, Sherry, I pre-preach. I get so excited on Saturday night. Sherry came in the door, and I'm like, oh, man, you got to hear what I said. And I got to this part, and she said, she reminded me of, it was a Christmas Eve. Oh, my gosh. One of my kids was in high school, and I had just heard the worst news ever. Worst. Crumbled. And she says, Mom, but you know what? God gave you a friend that would live five doors down. You pranced in her house right before they're all ready to go to midnight mass or what like that and prayed with you. God was with you. You thought it was the darkest day. Here it is, you know, 10 years later. That's nothing. Remember those times that you go, God was with us. All right? Stir yourself up. That's why you do God is with us. So one, God is with you. God, number two, God was with you. And number three, God will be with you because he's Emmanuel, all right? God will be with you. Okay, I'm going to give you a story, though. Hang on. All right. I'm telling you because the word said so, but also because I've lived this life, God will be with you. Now think about Mary. This angel comes in there and says, lo, God is with you. Now you can go tell Joseph that you're pregnant because God will be with you. And guess what? Everybody say, God was with her, right? And then, by the way, you got to go pay taxes 90 miles away on a donkey. And listen, there's nothing better than a bed or if you like hospitals and an epidural or something like that. And she's probably thinking, and God goes, I'll be with you. And she has this baby in a cave. By the way, that's real fun to it's not this cute little manger scene that I have, but I like my manger scene. It was a gift. Okay, so God was with her. God was with her. How about this dear little baby boy is now 12 years old, and they're back in Jerusalem, and they're heading home, and they can't find him. And they go running back, and God was with them all the time, Mary and Joseph, all the time. And it worked out great. And now her son, because God told her, listen, the Lord will be with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord will be with you. The Lord is with you. Emmanuel, God with you. Okay? Now her son's on a cross. And she knows why he's on a cross. Maybe not to the full extent because she didn't have her whole Bible. All right? And she watches her son die on a cross. And he's buried. And she comes out there day one. Nope. God said he'd be with me. Next day she gets up. And she goes, nope. God, you said you'd be with me. Day three, ta-da! It's Resurrection Sunday. God was with her. Listen, God loves you bigger and better. I say that about all my kids, so you can say it about yourself. God loves you. He loves you. He will always be with you. All right? Now, let me give you another one people like to use. Turn to Romans 8. I'm doing good. I can't get this all in here. Romans 8, Paul writes this, Romans 8, 35. I'm going to slow down so you can find it. Sorry, I just got off running today. I'm sorry. Okay, Romans 8, 35. Oh, do I want to start there? Let me think. Okay, 8, 35. But we have hope for what we do not see and eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit... Now I'm going to jump down to... Okay. Likewise, verse 9... okay, sorry. Skip 26, go to 27. No. Sorry. Erase that, Adam. You can press that button. I'm in Romans 8, 30. 35. Sorry. I kept going. Boy, that's a good scripture. It's nothing what I do. 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or sword? Verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Listen. It said, who will separate you? You can't get separated, guys. You can't get separated from Emmanuel. God was with us. Now, you can choose to separate yourself. Actually, do one of these. Okay? But God is with you. And it says nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from his love, from his presence. Doesn't matter what you're going in. Doesn't matter how bad things are at home. It doesn't matter about the doctor's report. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It says no thing can separate you because Emmanuel says he's with you. No thing, nothing. Isn't that delightful? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. All right, so he is, he was, he will be with you, amen. Now, this is the only question you need to answer today. Are you with God? I've just proved 100 times that God's with you, but are you with God? All right, and I'm just going to say, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, then you're not with him. He wants to be with you, but you're not with him. His presence is there, but you need to be with him. And you know what? I just challenge you. If you've never asked the Lord to be with you, listen, make this the best Christmas ever. You can say, Christmas 2013, I asked God, the Son Jesus, to be in my life, Lord of my life, and he is with me forever. He is, he was, he will be. Is there anybody here? You'd say, Pastor D, I don't think I'm with him, but I like what she said. I'd like him to be with me. He's with you, but I'd like to be with him. Anybody? I want to pray with you. I want you to have the best Christmas. All right. So you're all with, right? You're the with team. All right, now. The other part about this is sometimes we step back from his presence. We talked about it. Sometimes we step back from his presence because I don't feel him, because I did something. Sometimes we just step back because we're just so frizzled and worn out and so much disappointment. But listen, today the Bible says that if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So I want to tell you, I get told the other day, I say that a lot. I want to tell you, but I do, okay? Just close your eyes for a second, will you? Just think about it. Have you stepped back from his present, Jesus, the presence? Is there any part of your life where you just harden your heart and you go, God, I'm just taking a vacation from you because it's just not there. I'm encouraging you, just step back and say, God, I accept this present. I accept your presence. I thank you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And then, here you go. Just imagine yourself drawn in that presence. There's joy and peace and love and all those fruits of the Spirit in that presence. That means all the anxiety, all the stress. Man, I got stressed the other day. I had a limited amount of time, and I walked away from the presence. I actually got a little ugly. All right, remember the present. Remember his present. Okay, last. Who knows what regifting is? This is the one great ultimate gift you get to regift. And that is your challenge. Every day, God, who can I re-gift the gift? Who can I live before, love? Maybe you buy a gift, okay? But when you re-gift this gift, you believe the presence that I have, I am pouring into this person. And they will be changed in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you have in-laws and outlaws that might be coming? Okay. All right. Maybe it's time to believe the presence with the present, all right? How many of you want to believe that? All right, and believe it all year long. You are incredible people who hold the ultimate gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. All right, I'm done. Stand up for a second because it's time to shake. Okay.